Have you ever felt that unique burning shame when you realize you've been duped? That moment when the charity you donated to turns out to be fraudulent, or when someone you trusted betrays your confidence? This isn't just disappointment. It's a special kind of psychological wound that cuts deeper than most injuries. The fear of being played for a fool occupies a unique place in our psychological landscape, shaping everything from our personal relationships to our political choices. Consider two scenarios with identical financial outcomes. In one, hackers randomly charge $20.50 to your credit card. In another, you willingly give that same amount to what appears to be a legitimate children's charity that turns out to be fraudulent. Though you get your money back in both cases, the emotional impact differs dramatically. The random hack feels like a minor annoyance. Being conned feels deeply painful and shameful. Why? Being suckered isn't just about losing resources, it's about losing status and security. The accusation that you've played the fool suggests you've cooperated in your own social demotion. You can't be a sucker without your own cooperation, making it a unique form of victimhood filled with self-loathing. When hacked, we blame the criminal. When scammed, we blame ourselves, as if we taped the "kick me" sign to our own backs. Social cooperation is humanity's greatest strength and most challenging dilemma. From office refrigerators to climate agreements, individual self-interest often conflicts with collective benefit. In economic games, where players can contribute to a communal pot, benefiting everyone, rational strategy suggests contributing nothing. Either you benefit from others' contributions or avoid being the lone contributor. Yet, most people contribute substantially. Research revealed that fear of being fooled, not selfishness, drives non-cooperation. When players expected others to cooperate, their contributions often doubled or tripled. Guaranteed protection against being the lone cooperator led to dramatically higher contribution rates. The games provoked intense emotional responses. Players who cooperated while others defected became tearful or enraged, refusing to face those who betrayed them. These reactions showed that beyond financial loss, being a sucker meant painful social exclusion from the group's implicit contract. This social rejection triggers neurological pain responses similar to physical injury. Like food poisoning creating lasting aversion, social humiliation breeds persistent suspicion that can undermine cooperation across different situations and relationships. The fear of being played for a fool becomes potent when weaponized politically. Messages portraying groups as being played for suckers tap into our core insecurities about status and belonging, activating our cognitive sucker schema, a mental framework that transforms how we process information. Consider a professor receiving a student's extension request citing a family death. Normally, this would elicit compassion, but if a colleague suggests, "That's quite convenient, if you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you," the sucker schema activates, shifting focus from compassion to verification. This weaponized schema erodes interpersonal trust. An experiment illustrates this effect. The same economic game, labeled either community game or Wall Street game, yields drastically different cooperation rates, 70% versus 35%. The label alone shapes expectations of cooperation or exploitation. Sugrophobic rhetoric, language that triggers our fear of being duped, specifically threatens status hierarchies and dictates trust patterns. When threatened, people either fight perceived threats to social order or withdraw through skepticism, both undermining social cooperation. The threat of being labeled a fool or fraud permeates social hierarchies, with those holding least power facing the most scrutiny. While faculty receive implicit trust, students face constant verification demands. Gender and race significantly shape perceptions of credibility. Studies show women are consistently rated more gullible than identical male counterparts. In negotiation simulations, buyers deceived female sellers 5 times more often, not due to actual gullibility, but perceived vulnerability. Racial stereotypes create a paradoxical bind, with minorities portrayed as both helpless fools and cunning threats. This contradictory framing, rooted in slavery-era prejudices, persists in modern stereotypes. For women, navigating deception becomes an accepted burden of daily life. For men, being deceived by a woman represents a profound status threat, as it challenges traditional notions of masculine discernment. Even when predictions fail, believers create elaborate rationalizations rather than admit deception. Those most afraid of being duped often struggle most to recognize when it happens. While con artists work to cool the mark out, humans excel at self-deception, rationalizing injustices to make them manageable. Solomon Ash's conformity experiments revealed that 37% of subjects would agree with clearly incorrect group judgments. Some conformed to be polite, while others genuinely doubted their own perception. People often internalize conformity by altering their beliefs. Festinger's cognitive dissonance experiments showed subjects paid $1 rated boring tasks more enjoyably than those paid $20, demonstrating how people resolve the dissonance of deception by convincing themselves the transaction was worthwhile. Melvin Lerner's just world hypothesis explains this receptiveness to being cooled out. People need to believe they live in a just, orderly universe. When faced with unavoidable injustice, they tend to justify it as deserved rather than accept random misfortune or deliberate deception. While society celebrates motherhood as heroic in theory, the reality brings diminished status and minimal support. Despite claims that it's the most important job in the world, mothers experience significant status loss in practice. This cultural expectation of maternal selflessness has concrete costs. Law professor Cynthia Lee Starnes observes that mothers often discover during divorce that their years of family caretaking are deemed economically worthless. They've provided free caregiving at great personal expense. Studies reveal a stark double standard in how we judge parenting. When evaluating identical scenarios with only gender changed, subjects assumed mothers did more caregiving than fathers, but paradoxically rated working mothers as worse parents overall. For Black and Brown mothers, the scrutiny intensifies further. They face heightened monitoring by child welfare agencies, criminal consequences for routine parenting decisions, and systematic family separation, challenges white mothers rarely encounter. The fear of being a sucker can warp our moral judgment, making us reject beneficial programs or necessary help, as seen when elderly people refuse assistance they need to maintain independence. To manage sucker fear effectively, we must acknowledge it explicitly rather than letting it operate in the shadows. Creating clear decision frameworks that balance our values helps prevent this fear from corrupting our choices. Like other fears, sugarphobia creates cascades of negative thoughts and avoidance behaviors. The solution isn't avoidance, but exposure, confronting risks openly, acknowledging when we've been fooled, and recognizing that the consequences are rarely as dire as imagined. Living in society inevitably exposes us to potential deception. The question isn't whether we'll be suckers, but how we choose our risks. We might learn from parents who give freely despite uncertain returns, recognizing that some risks are worth taking for meaningful connections and community.